Well, we're talking about week 34, our final message, final in our Philippian series with the frog, a.k.a. Jim Allen.
Thank you. I appreciate
he's
that.
He's getting over bronchitis right now. We are talking about
the joy of reasonableness.
The joy of reasonableness.
Yes. Staying true to the trajectory.
That's right.
With the joy of.
Except for the blip in the middle where... Wrote it later, so he couldn't add the joy at the beginning of it.
I could have, but I wanted to make sure. Anyway, this is all going to get cut out. So go ahead, Jim.
So basically, because this is the end, the way I wanted to look at it was, first of all, you know, what have we learned through Philippians? And I think, you know, one of the biggest lessons, obviously, is joy through whatever circumstance. And there was just so much. I know... You know, and it's weird, Aaron, that you're sitting in on this because, you know, I'm not used to that, but...
I know, it's my first time.
Yeah, very strange. But...
A longtime listener, first time sitting in with Jim.
There you go. Thank you. But there's just so much in Philippians, and I know Aaron had... Every week he made a comment like, I can't believe this has gone 30-some weeks or whatever. But the truth is, I mean, he probably could have spent more time. You know, there's just so many lessons to learn. And that's kind of what I just try and do a quick overview at the very beginning of the message on all of the things that were really just profound that we learned. And I just wanted to, I was like, how to wrap this up? And the funny thing is I have to credit Michelle with this message, I believe, because Aaron said to me, hey, Michelle mentioned to me that, this is Aaron speaking. Michelle mentioned to me that I sort of skipped over chapter 4, verse 5, and there could be a lot in there. And then when I looked at it, I went, yeah, you know, that's really true. So kudos to Michelle, who's sitting here.
You're saying it was a reasonable suggestion?
It was a very reasonable suggestion. But when you really dig into that word, it really is in a way a culmination of how we should be responding. And, you know, especially, you know, as I was working through this message the last week or two, just all the things that are going on in the country, you know, it seems like the country is going more and more crazy. And, you know, and as a Christian, you go through all the whole gambit of emotion, right? I mean, you know, and what should our response be ultimately? I mean, is it okay to be angry? Sure. You know, I mean, we're human. But at the end of the day, how do we honor Christ in our responses to the world? And that's kind of what I wanted to look at.
In our gospel communities this week, when we gather together, I think we can very easily see people from different walks of life and how they view different things. So how can we help them rather than reacting? How do we help us to walk through reasonableness? Maybe is there a way to talk through that with the understanding of reasonableness from the different perspectives we come at to help grow one another to have dialogue?
One of the things that I was thinking of this week is first it has to start with each one of us. Like I have to start with me. Mm-hmm. I traditionally, one of my biggest struggles is, you know, I know people struggle with different things. One of my major struggles is kindness. And that's one of the, you know, translations of reasonableness, in the passage is kindness and graciousness. And so like specifically at GCs, what I find myself doing is when someone is sharing something, I'm already formulating a response in my head instead of listening. I think that's a big thing with all of us, right? Like we want to instantly put our life experiences onto everyone's struggle. Most of the time, anytime there's an issue, I have to look at myself first and realize it's usually I'm the problem, you know? So, and if I can learn to be more, that my responses can be more reasonable, be more gracious, be more forbearing, all of those things that I'll talk about in the message, that would probably be a good thing.
I think stopping and asking everyone kind of to reassess what they do and what's their tendency when they're offended or something happens, like what's the most recent offense you're dealing with? And I think if you just jump in and people aren't thinking about how they actually respond, they're going to assume they respond differently than they probably typically do.
Well, if there's the trust and rapport there, it might be really helpful to have the people doing life with you to speak into that.
Yeah. If you see something different.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And my wife told me last night that how I thought I was responding to something was not how I was responding to something.
And then I think the next step is, well, how do we respond to that in a healthier way that is inspired by the gospel?
Can you speak more to that, Michelle?
Yeah, it's going to depend on the situation. I mean, for some people who are avoidant, like they might need to find the courage and inspiration from the gospel to reconcile. And that means you have to engage, but to engage in a way that's honest and kind and clear and with the best interest of the other person at heart. For others, they need to temper maybe their reactivity. All of us need to humble ourselves. Like I think I go back to Philippians 2, right? And you think about our offense like against God, and yet how did he respond to us? And like, why can we not then humble ourselves to these offenses that are in comparison so much lesser, right? So I think there's so much there that you can unpack when we look at the gospel.
Amen. I don't want the message to come across, though, is that we shouldn't be bold and stand for the truth, because that's important, too. I don't want anybody to think that in the message that I'm saying just roll over right. on everything, because that's not true either. We stand for the truth,
right.
but it's how we communicate that to the world. We have to do it with graciousness and with kindness and, you know.
And who's our example in that? Jesus is.
Yeah, absolutely. Jesus is.
I mean, he confronts the people trying to kill the woman in adultery, but he never says to her, okay, great, you live your truth. He says, right. go and sin no more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he calls it out for what it is while also calling out their sin of wanting to murder her for what it is. And he calls everybody to repentance.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great way to live. If you're listening to this, this is 2 days after Charlie Kirk was killed?
I think so.
And it's interesting seeing the responses, because the responses are also pretty polarized.
Yeah.
They are, it is like everything he said is out of the mouth of God, or right. it's everything he said was out of the mouth of the devil. And everybody quotes things that he didn't necessarily say. It's like a summation of whatever their side.
It's all tribalistic.
Right. Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. And so the problem, yes, you know, this week it feels like a gut punch. I get it. But this is an issue that has now been going on for this entire year. Do I feel like in moments like this, I just want to be like, what the f-? And yeah, I feel like that. Mm-hmm. I said, so I'm preaching more to myself in these moments and other things. This is what I need to be reminded of, because it's not just this, although this is important. It's all that's happening right now. And we need to refocus in all of it. And rather than putting back into the anger of the moment, I would rather move them to a place where they are seeing who Jesus is in the midst of their anger.
It's a hard position to be in. Mm-hmm.
I've struggled not taking the actions of one person to demonize a whole side. I my tendency is to do that. I try very hard not to. And I didn't like... I don't like the deifying Charlie Kirk. Okay.
I mean, it makes me sick that happened to him. And mm-hmm. it's like, I know he is a brother in Christ. I'd seen some of his clips before. I didn't know him by name until after this. And then I was like, oh, that guy.
And there's just this huge difference, actually, if you look from like 8 years ago when he started to 3 or 4 years ago when he centered on Christ.
Because every single person's going to grow.
Right.
And that's the thing. It's like you can't take a snapshot of someone and like define them by that.
Right.
Like we're always growing.
Well, I do think most of what he did was centered on the gospel. I think if you go back and you look at not just the clips, but then the fuller context, never read a Bible verse. He gave the gospel message, even though it's shrouded in politics, even though he's debating and having these conversations everywhere. If you go back and you actually watch fuller clips, he gave the gospel message. And I think that for me, that is one of my takeaways in this, is that I can be more bold, find more ways to speak about how the gospel does influence my beliefs, my politics, my everything, not to justify what I believe, but to say, hey, it's rooted in these things of what I know about God, in his work, in his person, in his deity. My big takeaways is no matter what the people on this earth are doing, no matter what either side, I can be more bold and fearless. On the other hand, it's harder and harder to not see more and more percentage of the left celebrating and just be completely and utterly grossed out and shocked. And I think I think there's people on the right who do really awful, inhuman stuff and people on the left who do it. But so you get out of the fringe and the next whatever percentage who celebrate it, it's just massively growing. And that's what I feel like we need to speak into is that growing percentage.
I don't know if it's growing. The perspective we get shaped by social media and just the sources we even gravitate toward. It's like, I've seen a lot of maybe not Democratic some, but at least some that lean progressive that were mourning it and talking about how ridiculous it is.
Again, I don't want to take the whole percentage of it, but there is, I don't know.
There's always going to be some, but.
And this is why community is important. And maybe if our goal was the gospel first and not these politics, and I'm not saying these political things aren't important, that we get to be involved in these things in our world. But maybe if there's a community that came around them and showed them some love on the opposite side of the aisle from where they are, they might have a deeper appreciation for some of this. I want to speak what the scriptures speak.
Yeah.
And it gets difficult at times because people get upset.
What's coming next?
Next, we are doing a series called Never Read a Bible Verse that is going to kick off on old days. And actually, well, it kicked it off on Father's Day talking about singleness. But we're kicking off on old days. And then the week after that, we're going to start with the background understanding of looking at the scriptures through a lens that helps us to see what it really means. So we're going to take some verses that people have asked questions about or used out of context and put them in context so we can understand more rightly what's actually being said.
Well, I pray that we, as we're facing our culture and our world and in our old days next week, that we can be more humbly
reasonable.
All of the things, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is on display as we respond to the things that we're seeing in our news feeds, our social media feeds. And we stop and we consider how Jesus would respond and how we respond and to how we respond even. And we give grace to ourselves and each other and be more humble. We'll see you at Old Days next week.
I was told by my wife last night that she is done with me being sick and I am now fine. So
I love it.
And this will be edited out, what I'm about to say, or I'm a dead man.
Are you going
to
leave this in?
No, do not leave this in, but.
Hey, cover your mouth.
I'm hopped up on drugs, so it really doesn't matter to me.
All right, I'm going to pee.
Well, as Aaron goes pee, I thought I'd give you a quick update on our plight with the county and this traffic mitigation fee. This week, we had a great meeting with all parties involved who make said decisions. And so far, it's already been reduced from $187,000 to roughly about $57,000. So we are great strides. Another leap like that, we'll get that thing down to zero. But we have some homework that we can do to then alter that down even lower. And they gave us kind of a deferred payment requirement until we actually open the preschool doors. So thanks for everyone who's been praying for our preschool licensing and all that. Please keep praying. Please keep praying for this fee that we didn't see coming. It was a good meeting. Everyone was wanting to work with us. They just have to do it in a way that isn't unfair to other businesses. And stuff like that. So we're legitimately trying to work with them. So that's what we're working on this week. And hopefully I'll have another update in the weeks to come.